Episode 2. This is the second part in our four-part mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. Every Sunday in October for the past 12 years, I have talked about God's beautiful plan for living in union with Him. Last week in Episode 1 on Respect Life Sunday, we reflected on bringing children to Jesus. And we talked about how inspiring it is that so many of you bring your children to Jesus every single Sunday, that you bring your children to the sacraments of baptism and Eucharist and penance and confirmation. What a beautiful thing that is. We also talked about the biblical teaching of Jesus' response when we don't bring children to Jesus. Jesus isn't just sad. He's indignant. He is indignant when we do not bring our children to Jesus in the sacraments every Sunday. He's indignant when we refuse to bring our children to Jesus by killing them through abortion or preventing their conception. Now, last week we also talked about a childlike attitude, a childlike attitude, one that is excited about the church's moral teaching, excited like a little child, excited about receiving gifts from their parents. We talked about the resilience of a child and willing to get back up on our feet if we fall down in the church's teaching. And with the resilience of a child, we get right back up. We start walking forward again. And most of all, we talked about trusting and believing in what Jesus tells us, trusting Him like a little child who is obedient and believes everything their parents tell them. This week, as we begin Episode 2, I know that in past years, all of you know that we have talked extensively about contraception and about those who refuse to be co-creators with God in bringing new souls into the world. Truly, this is one of the greatest evils of our time, and it is still a prevalent problem. But every time that I have given that reflection against contraception, I look out and I see a number of very beautiful souls that are on the other side of the coin. Those beautiful married couples who have not refused a child through contraception, but on the contrary, are not able to have children. This is what I wish to address today in Episode 2. Couples who are not able to have a child. And what a great suffering that is to them. I'd like you to know that the church suffers with you in this difficult time of pain. St. Paul says, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And so we are suffering with you at this very difficult time. We look back to our biblical friends. We see how many characters in the Bible had a difficult time conceiving. You might think the most famous ones are like Abraham and Sarah from the Old Testament, or Zachariah and Elizabeth in the New Testament. And you remember how old Sarah was before she conceived? She was 90 years old. And Abraham was 100. It was a long, 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 long time before they conceived. And the same goes for Zachariah and Elizabeth. So long before they conceived. And yet we heard, all things are possible for God. For those who have a difficult time conceiving or who cannot conceive, we certainly mourn with you. There is a beautiful line in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It's in paragraph 2379, and it goes like this. It says, spouses who suffer from infertility after exhausting legitimate medical procedures should unite themselves with the Lord's cross, the source of all spiritual fruitfulness. Now that is stunning. Those couples who are infertile should unite themselves to Jesus on the cross, which is the source of all spiritual fruitfulness. That is beautiful. And so in the midst of this great cross, these couples unite themselves to Jesus and pray that as they carry this cross of infertility, somehow the Lord will let them bear spiritual fruit in the world. That is so beautiful. Now, that statement also talks about exhausting legitimate means. And what are some legitimate means for a couple who is not able to have a child? I'd like to mention two. First of all, there is adoption. And I am inspired by so many people, so many married men and women who have adopted a child. What a great gift of generosity this is. Adopting a child into your family. There's so many couples who are waiting to adopt a child. Sometimes it becomes so difficult in our modern society for them to adopt a child. And we want to make it easy for them to be parents through adoption. It's a great gift. We also want to encourage those women to have their children, to not consider an abortion, but to have their children and to give their child or their children up for adoption to these awesome parents who are waiting to be mothers and fathers. So thank you to all of you who have chosen adoption for your child. The second thing that I want to mention is the Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska. And the Pope Paul VI Institute in Omaha, Nebraska was started by Dr. Thomas Hilgers. And he named it the Pope Paul VI Institute after Pope Paul VI, who wrote the encyclical Humanae Vitae on the dignity of human life. You remember last October we reflected on this document, Humanae Vitae, from Paul VI. And Dr. Hilgers takes the name from Pope Paul VI, who wrote Humanae Vitae. This wonderful institute, he's a doctor, he's an MD, and his whole vocation at the Paul VI Institute is to help couples, husbands and wives, to conceive a child in the natural way by working in harmony with the woman's body. It is absolutely beautiful, the things that Dr. Hilgers has been able to achieve through the grace of God and through a new technology that he calls NAPRO technology, which is this technology that using hormones and minor surgical procedures allows the married husband and wife to conceive in the natural way. He has been a sort of savior with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to help couples who are infertile or who suffer from repetitive miscarriages or from different hormone abnormalities or who have a difficult time conceiving because of stress or other problems. What a gift Dr. Hilgers and the Paul VI Institute is to the church. I can tell you that I have personally, financially supported them every year of my priesthood. It is a beautiful institute, completely moral and in line with the church's teaching. He's working together with God in the natural way to conceive a child. If you want more information, you can come see me. I have a few brochures here today. Also, of course, in today's modern era, you can always go online and find out all about it at the Paul VI Institute on the internet. So, these are some beautiful things, and while I am so inspired by Dr. Hilgers and what he's been able to accomplish cooperating with God and helping couples to conceive in the natural way, while I am so inspired by those couples who have chosen adoption, I am equally sad by those who use immoral means to conceive a child. I am surprised and shocked at how many people do not know the beautiful teaching of the church on this issue. All of the confirmation students last Sunday received a catechism of the Catholic Church. They can go back and take a look at paragraph 2376, which says, donation of sperm or ovum, a surrogate uterus, or artificial insemination are gravely immoral. I'm surprised at how many people don't know that. I'm surprised at how many people do not know that sperm banks, egg banks, surrogate motherhood, or test tube babies are gravely immoral. Now, why is that? I have four reasons, and here they are. Number one, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Just because I can eat an entire pumpkin pie that my mother makes in one sitting doesn't mean I should. Just because you can cheat on your spelling test this week doesn't mean you should. And just because I can go 100 miles an hour in my new car doesn't mean I should. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. Number two, children are gifts. They are not rights. The Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly says a child is not something owed to one, but is a gift. A child is not a piece of property. No one has a right to a child. Do you remember on your wedding day the three questions the priest asked you? One of the questions the priest said is, will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and His church? And you said, I will. Listen to that again. Will you accept children? Not refuse children through contraception. Not demand children through immoral means. Will you accept them as gifts from God? Not owed to you? Not a right of yours? Will you accept them if God gives you children as a gift? That's the question. Children are gifts, not rights. Number three, what is most surprisingly about the rights is not the parents, because the parents don't have rights to a child. Children are gifts. What is most surprising about the Catechism is that it says that the children have rights. That is amazing. This is what the Catechism says. The child has a right to be the fruit of a specific act of the conjugal love of his parents. A child has a right to be conceived in the natural way. That's what it says. The child has a right to be respected as a person from the first moment of his conception, not treated as an object or a thing to be made in a laboratory. A child has the right, it says, to be born of a father and mother known to him and bound to each other by marriage. Isn't that amazing? The Catechism favors not the rights of the parents to have a child. No, because children are gifts. The Church teaches that it's the child that has a right not to be treated as a laboratory experiment, but as a beautiful child conceived in love. The fourth and final reason that I give is that the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that these immoral means that I've mentioned for conceiving a child dissociate the conjugal act from the procreative act. Now, that's very sophisticated language, isn't it? They dissociate the conjugal act from the procreative act. Very sophisticated. Let's explain it real simply. This is how Dr. Hilgers explained it to me personally when I talked to him and met him from the Paul VI Institute. He says, life and love go together. That's all you have to remember. And I said, I got it. Life and love go together. They're two sides of the same coin. Life and love go together. So, he says, in real simple language, if you're going to make love, you have to be open to making life. And that leaves contraception out. But he says, if you're going to make life, then you have to make love. And that leaves out artificial insemination and surrogate motherhood, test tube babies, and the like. Life and love go together. That's what the church is teaching us. Now, perhaps, when you came here this morning, perhaps you could say with the rich young man, yeah, I've kept all of God's commandments. And then you've listened to this sermon and you go, oh boy. I'm still lacking something. Maybe you could give away all of your riches as soon as Jesus asks. And Jesus says, give away all of your riches. And you go, no problem, here they are. I don't want my possessions anyway. And you say to yourself, I don't get the rich young man. Why didn't he just give him all this stuff? Jesus asked him. But Jesus isn't asking you to give up your possessions. He's asking you to give up something more difficult. He's asking you to give up your will. Yes, your will. And to offer obedience to Jesus Christ. What is most difficult for some to give up is not their possessions. It's their false opinions that sperm banks, in vitro fertilization, and surrogate motherhood are virtues. They're not. They're bad. What is most difficult to give up is our false opinions about these issues. But don't go away from Jesus sad today, still holding on to your false opinions. Pray that prudence will be given to you. Plead so that the spirit of wisdom will come to you. For I can guarantee you that riches and priceless gems and gold and silver are as nothing compared to the wisdom that comes from God.